Good evening. Call to order. This regular meeting of the Analaska City Council is called to order at 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, November 28, 2023. Council member Nicholson, can you read the mission statement, please?
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you. City Clerk, can I please our wait a second. Can I please have a roll call vote?
Councilmember Bell?
Here.
Councilmember Coleman? Councilmember Luby?
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Here.
Councilmember Longo?
Here.
Councilmember Tungle?
Here.
Mayor Tudiapa?
We have a quorum. Councilmember Coleman and Mayor Tutiakov are excused. Councilmember Longo, can you please cite the Pledge of Allegiance? Recognition of visitors. City Manager, you have anybody?
Well, Mayor Pro Tem, as I look out, it looks like we have a regular cast of characters. However, I think we have a few folks who are joining us to see how the discussions with regard to the Optumera contract is. We have a guest from Optumera, the clinic, USAFE, and mostly staff, and Ellis. We're never sure who Ellis is here for.
Thank you. Next is the adoption of agenda. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
I understand that the staff requests we amend the agenda to include an action item following the executive session. Would anyone like to make a motion and a second?
Yes, Mr. Vice Mayor. I move to amend the agenda add an action item following the executive session to vote on proposed findings of fact and conclusion of law related to the appeal of the Planning Commission decision.
Council, is there any objection on the agenda as adopted? Hearing no objection, the agenda is amended and it's adopted. Next is approve the minutes of the previous meeting. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the November 14th meeting?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 14th, 2023 meeting.
Second.
There any objection? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes is approved. Next is the city manager's report. Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and City Council. I didn't have a lot to include, surprisingly, in this city manager report. I hope you're all attending this Saturday's Christmas party. I did include a staffing update. We try to keep the numbers up to date. You can see we also have an activity. There have been a few offers, pending hires, et cetera. And then I also just kind of wanted to point out an article that I had seen, and it's been sent to me by a few other people on our whole team, how Anchorage and what the kind of vacancies the city of Anchorage is facing. So we're not alone in trying to fill, you know, positions, and maybe in a little way, but for our rural, you know, and the kind of positions we're in need of, you know, we're probably in a little better shape in terms of percentage of staff that are vacant. So that's all I have. After this report, you'll hear from the McCushion Project. So I didn't add anything in here since they're presenting.
Any question from the council? Hearing no question, we'll move to the next item. Next item is the community input and announcement. This is a time for a member of the public to provide information to council or to make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and council will not engage in a dialogue.
Hello, Mayor, Pro Tem, and council. We have December 9th. It's going to be a big day for us. We have our Christmas bazaar coming up, 11 to 3. We have photos with Santa, 1 to 3. These are all at the community center. We have a cookie decorating contest sponsored by Alyeska. That'll happen during the 11 to 3 time frame. We have a gingerbread house competition. They have to be, all the gingerbread houses that want to be entered in the competition have to be there by 11 o'clock on the 9th. And then we have the St. Jude's 5K fun run, all happening on December 9th on the fun run, checking at 2:30. It's going to be a fun day. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Hi. Emily, I'm praying for me to save. We did 27 Thanksgiving boxes for the Thanksgiving holiday, as well as 13 miniature Thanksgiving boxes for community elders. We'll be doing boxes again for Christmas and Russian Christmas. So again, if anyone would like to know how they can help us with our holiday food activities, the best thing we can use is money so that we can buy what we need. Gift cards are also great. We'll be selling tickets for our winter raffle. Up through December 29th, we'll be at the Midnight Madness this Saturday during the City Christmas Party down in the Margaret's Bay Cafe. We'll be at the PCR Holiday Bazaar on the 9th, and the drawing will be on December 29th at 4 p.m. We're hoping to do a classic movie date night sometime in December, so bring a date yourself. It'll probably be a Katharine Hepburn movie, but we haven't chosen which one yet. There's staff members that love Katharine Hepburn, so we're arguing over which one to show. And the soup-off will be held Saturday, March 30th, 2024. So we hope to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Green. Anybody else wish to speak? City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom?
No, sir.
Now we move to the next item. Next is a public comment on agenda item. This is the time for the members of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and council will not engage in dialogue. Does anyone present wish to speak? City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or on the phone wish to speak?
I have one written comment from Chris Price that he'd asked me to read.
Go ahead.
Dear council members, city staff, and members of the public, thank you for having a work session tonight to discuss the McCushion Geothermal Project. I'm thankful for you having this work session and the opportunity to make public comments. I want to clarify a few things for the community's better understanding concerning the tribe's involvement in the project. Question number one that I often hear is, does the Kawalungan Tribe of Unalaska have a financial stake in the McCushion Geothermal Project? Answer, no. The tribe has no financial stake in the project. Question number two, What role does the tribe play in the Makushin Geothermal Project? Answer, the tribe has a role as a supporting partner to the community of Unalaska. As the only federally recognized tribal government on Unalaska land, the tribe is recognized by the Department of Energy for grants, cooperative agreements, and for purposes of government-to-government consultation. We are eligible for grants and federal assistance to support the project in many facets, from grant funding for grid upgrades to technical assistance. DOE even has the grants available for community projects like solid waste incineration that converts waste to energy. DOE offers a wide range of grant opportunities to tribes. Question number three, has the tribe received any grants to support this project to date? Answer, yes. The tribe has received a $2.5 million congressional designated spending cooperative agreement from the Department of Energy to create a local workforce development program that supports the entire community of Unalaska with job training and job placement opportunities associated with the Makushin project. These funds were made available from Senator Lisa Murkowski in 2022. The tribe will be doing a deep dive and local presentations on our upcoming workforce development program associated with the Makushin project in early 2024. Question number four, is the tribe subject to federal laws? Yes, the tribe is subject to all federal laws and federal guidelines for grants, cooperative agreements, and financial management requirements by the IRS and the OMB. I hope this clears up some of the questions that I often hear around town about the tribe related to this project. The tribe does support geothermal development at Makushin. We believe that the geothermal power is a reliable, stable, and proven technology, and that if made affordable, will become an economic catalyst for the community development and local industry. If residents and industry alike can benefit from affordable, that's time, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. If you're on, if you're listening on the phone. Next up, next item is a public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. And there's a 3-minute time limit per person. Please come to the podium and state your name. Public hearing on Ordinance 2023-11, creating amendment number 2 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, providing 10,000 additional monies to fully fund the park and recreation study, is now open. Does anyone present wish to speak? City Clerk, were written comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or on the phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Public hearing is now closed. Next is the work session. May I have a motion in a second to go into a work session?
I make a motion to go into work session.
A second.
Motion made by Councilman Bell and seconded by Councilman Nicholson and seconded by Councilman Longo. City Manager for introduction.
Good evening, Mr. Vice Mayor and Council again. Tonight we have some of the OCCP team present via Zoom, Mr. Dave Matthews, who has been their lead that I've been working with and talked to mostly on the subject, and probably their knowledgeable subject matter expert and the one that has been doing most of the public outreach. And so I will give you Dave. And meanwhile, we'll pass out the material that he was going to present and get it up on the screen. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Can you all hear me here? Okay.
Yes, we can.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and City Council members. We're glad to talk to you tonight and have the time to kind of give you a brief update about where we are, and it primarily ties into our schedule and our financing for the project, which has been an ongoing effort for the last couple of years in a very concerted manner. We're 4 years into the project, which is originally we thought we would be complete in 4 years, but it has been a hard road to get the financing that we need to put the project together. But we remain very committed, and we're so far along now that we're finally starting to see the light through the end of the tunnel, that we could put this together and then start with a very concerted construction effort too for the remaining 4 years. We have a schedule of completion still in November of 2027. However, as we're into due diligence with many lenders right now, there's timelines that are being pushed and pulled within that due diligence that are making us take a hard look at the timing of everything to see if we could hold that 2027 date. But right now we're kind of optimistic that we can. Part of the timing for the funding, and a precondition to getting a lot of the funding, is to have a valid PPA with the city of Unalaska. And since we've learned about the cost of financing and some of the price increases that have gone up, we've requested that we have an amendment four with the city of Unalaska to kind of renegotiate some of the terms and some of the amounts that we need within that PPA to satisfy the lenders, that we have the proper ratios to pay for the project. So where we are right now is that we have four contributors in our capital deck that we're trying to get online. We've talked to dozens and dozens of different types of lending operations, but it's come down to where we're into needing the help of government and quasi-government to help us put this together, because the ROI on the project has always been very low, and it hasn't attracted private capital. And we're kind of in a isolated area in Unalaska with a small isolated grid. So there's been challenges all along because of that. But what we put together now, and where it looks like it's going to end up, is that OCCP has put together around $16.5 million to get us to this point, a financial investment decision. And that's secured. We've been spending that money over the last 4 years and on physical activities out there, and a lot of engineering, and we've got almost all the engineering done. We've got, I'd say, 80% of the permitting done, and we're in a very good position to springboard this into a full construction mode and make financial commitments to all of our selected vendors and contractors out there once we do have a full funding package put together. AEA is participating now. They approved a $4.9 million loan on October 25th, just a month or so ago. And then the next leg on the table is ADA. We're asking them for $25 million investment. We're in the middle of due diligence on that with them right now. And kind of a key date to watch there is December 6th, which is just coming up next week, for a board meeting, where we're anticipating that there'll be a recommendation for the board to approve that loan. There'll be quite a bit of details to work out, but that's kind of where we need to have that, when we need to have that happen. And then, of course, DOE is under the Tribal Energy Loan Program we've been working with for many years. It's around a $200 million ask with them. We've went through part one and part two of the application process, and on September 14th, 2023, we were formally invited to a due diligence and term sheet negotiations with them. So we're a couple months into the due diligence. We anticipate it'll take another 6 months. There'll be condition precedents to satisfy before they would put the loan together, which is, of course, the having a PPA with the city and then having a performa and a model that simulates the cost and the inputs and the outputs, that this project can be profitable and pay for itself. So that kind of takes us to the PPA Amendment 4 and just a little bit of a history. We've had three amendments since we negotiated the PPA in 2020, and they basically just changed the dates because it's taken us longer to get the financing together than we originally thought. But in 2020, We were evaluated pretty much on geothermal energy as a replacement cost for diesel fuel for power generation. We didn't really look at stability of energy cost, the health benefits, and the green energy that could attract different business and different models. It was just all compared to the cost of diesel fuel. And back there in 2020, we went back and looked at the prior 5 years of cost to the city for diesel fuel and averaged that. And diesel came in at around $2.46 a gallon. And that is kind of where we got with the 16 cents on the PPA rate, because that was equivalent to the $2.46 a gallon when the energy sales for the city are around 100 million kilowatt hours per year. So the PPA was all built around that diesel fuel price, and we tried to estimate what fuel prices were going to go in the future and some of the models that Mike Hubbard and the city put together. And we sorely missed the quick rise in diesel prices that have occurred since then, because currently the price is around $4.50 a gallon. I think your April financial reports, the city's averaging around $4 a gallon, but it's ending up. And so when you get diesel fuel price around that, your cost of generation is around 25 cents to 30 cents per kilowatt hour just there. And you could probably see that on your COPA on your own bills right now. So what's happened is that since we negotiated the PPA in 2020, there's been a 22% increase in project costs. When we started negotiating, the project cost was around $201 million. Now it's around $250 million. The cost of borrowing money has increased 160%. And the current price of diesel fuel compared to what it was back in 2020, it's gone up 246%. So we're looking for a rate increase that's large enough to satisfy ourselves and the lenders, that we could pay for ourselves and provide for the lending ratios that they all look for, but at the same time, still lower the cost of your energy out there in the short and long term. And we think we can still beat diesel generated energy by quite a bit still after a rate increase. So that's kind of what we're hoping for, and we need this to happen relatively quick. We need to understand that the city's interested in negotiating this with us a little bit further and doing it in kind of a linear fashion, because if we don't have the rate increase and some of the changes to the PPA that we're looking for, then we it's going to be a precondition for funding. So I would like to be able to have this happen, you know, within the first quarter of next year, if possible, the next 2 to 3 months, if possible. Now, we've already made a initial proposal to the city, and it's being evaluated, and we're just ready to negotiate further and try to come up with some rate that makes sense for letting the project carry on, but also makes sense to the citizenry and the businesses in Alaska that delivers the geothermal energy, stable energy price to them at a lower cost than what the diesel fuel price is today. And that's kind of the end of my summary, and I'll be glad to talk about any questions you might have.
Thank you. Council discussion, you got any question or comment? Council Member Luby?
Yeah, I was just curious, what is your anticipated recovery and cost recovery time overall?
You mean for paying back the, a lot of it depends. The basis, the IRA law that has just passed has substantially increased the ability for investment tax credits to come through to the project. So there's a lot of interpretation and guidance from the Treasury that's still not out on that, but that's a keystone to allowing some of these financing companies to come in and say, okay, we're gonna loan you some money. This is particularly ADA, but we want to have the security be the investment tax credits that are coming in. So you know, with the investment tax credits and the rate of return goes up, but we're still, you know, probably below 10% rate of return on investment on the whole deal. And then with depreciation, we probably won't see a profit for the first 8 or 9 years, and then we'll start seeing some return after that.
Okay, thank you.
Any question? Councilmember Bell?
So with the increase in diesel fuel, has obviously made this project much more attractive because of the cost of power in the city. I guess what is not in here, and I'm sure there is a number floating around, is what would the increase need to be in order to get this project to an acceptable return on investment so that the finance, anybody that's going to finance this would seriously look at the project.
Yeah, the initial proposal that we gave to the city is at 22 cents instead of 16 cents, and then have a break on that after the 100 million kilowatt hours is achieved, then drop it down to like 12 cents. So it kind of front ends a little bit to us to get through the first years where we're losing money, but it also provides good ratios for the banking group to look at. And then after the city gets over 100 million kilowatt hours per year, then we could drop the rate. And so that's the kind of the range we're looking at right now. What's interesting for the city is that selling about 42 million kilowatt hours per year right now. So to get to the 100 has always been a challenge, and this was the basis of the original PPA too. We knew that to make this economic for everybody, the city has to sell more. And with Trident coming in and willing to sign a PPA and offering a big plant, you'll get over 100 million relatively quick, or can right off the bat by the time this plant's completed. So it makes it very palatable, I think, for everybody to do that. And at 22 cents, it's less than your COPA now. And if other cells come on, we know other industry is interested out there. The more cells, the less cost it is on a levelized basis.
Yes, let me comment on one thing, and I hate to put you on the spot here, city manager, but has Trident indicated that they were interested in signing a PPA?
They have.
And is that in negotiations, or is that simply in, where would that be at?
It'll have to be in negotiations. We don't have anything to negotiate with at the time. We still have a void in what they're seeking and what we can supply. So it's going to be hard to have a power purchase agreement for power we don't yet know we can sell. We're kind of in a conundrum here. If you remember when this project started, we didn't have that going on. Same thing for the Captain's Bay Road project. So while the proposed Trident development is certainly going to help the project, both for our Captain's Bay Road improvement plan and, you know, selling electric, this has become, you know, kind of one of the dominoes that we have to be able to solve. I mean, what we're all gonna, I can't negotiate a PPA with them without knowing exactly what's gonna cost us. And it's, so you see how it's all kind of nestled together.
All right.
Okay. A 22 cents a kilowatt hour. I mean, that, I think everyone, when we went into this, knowing that it was gonna take a little while to find financing, expected the cost to go up. I know I did. So that's not that big a surprise. And we know the price of fuel is going to continue to go up. So, you know, in the short term, you know, yeah, it's going to be a bunch of money up front, but in the long term, it's definitely going to benefit the community. But I still go back to one of the things that has come up multiple times in conversations, and I haven't necessarily been part of those conversations, but is the need to prove the resource. There's been so much documentation about what what the flow is and all that, all the stuff needed to make this a viable project. We're still going off of 50-year-old data. And I can't find many people that think that the data that was from there, from back then, is data that would be, should be used for this project going forward or trying to find the financing. I'm kind of wandering off here a little bit, but the whole conversation about proving the resource.
Yeah, I'll take that, Sam. And that has been a topic with all the lenders, but there's more confidence now than there ever has been. They're part of the due diligence with ADA. They hired Geothermex, which is the world expert on geothermal resource evaluation. That's what a lot of banks use. We supplied them with all of the data that we've put together from our own geothermal expert, and it's a wealth of data, and geologically it doesn't change a whole lot. But Geothermex has come back with a 53-page report that they provided to ADA that satisfied ADA that the resource risk is low, and it's allowed them to proceed with their loan investment opportunities. So I just say that if we want to have well-respected experts that pore over all this, and that's what they do, and that satisfies banking and it satisfies lending that the resource is there or what risk level it's at, then we've kind of satisfied that knot, I think, in our own minds, and we satisfied it in our lender's mind.
My apprehension to that is you can find plenty of people that will say that resource has not been proven to a point. And the fear would be is, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years into the project, the water runs dry or the resource dries up. Everyone's made a commitment to millions of dollars. There's a risk there. And then the last point I'll make, and I think this goes to the rest of the council, is having some kind of discussion on, having an in-depth discussion again about this, on the city's involvement and how we want to be involved, or if there's any changes that we'd like to see as part of that PPA, or if what was presented is acceptable. And I'm not sure if that would be in a work session or if that needs to be in an executive session. But I'll listen to the rest of the council on what their thoughts are.
I'm pretty sure the city manager will come to us with something after the being evaluated on what OCCP turned in. So I think that's when we can have our discussion once the city manager received that done on that evaluation that OCCP gave to him. So any other comments or any other question? Hearing none. Now we can receive public comments, 3 minutes per person. Does anyone present wish to speak? Please state your name.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem and Council. Dennis Robinson for the record. This is a project that's been near and dear to me. And I think it is worthy of pursuing. As Councilmember Bell said, the price of fuel is not going down anytime soon, and it probably more than likely will not. All it'll do is increase. And I look forward to coming to testify again at on the proposal that the city manager and OCCP work out to present to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Anybody else wish to speak? Hearing none, City Clerk, we're reading comments submitted, or does anyone on Zoom or phone wish to speak?
Yes, sir. Denise Rankin wishes to speak.
Thank you very much. Denise Rankin, homeowner in Unalaska and resident for my whole life. And I just want to say that I'm also, like Dennis Robinson said, I'm very passionate about seeing this project go through. And I hope that as we continue moving forward, that the city council and city would be able to negotiate an amendment to the PPA. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Anybody else?
Yes, sir. There's two more. Next is Alyssa McDonald.
Yes, thank you, Council, Mayor Pro Tem. I, as a also a resident of Unalaska and long-term business owner, along with my husband, Jimmer McDonald, we have watched this and were personally participants of this 20 years ago when we looked at this in Iceland and realized that there that not all of the answers are in yet, but we want to encourage you guys up there. It's a tough decision, but please continue working together. We need alternative income, alternative economies. And this is a very clear pathway to that possibility. And what we really need eventually is a new airport, but we got to have this resource. I believe it is going to be the key to opening up a lot more economic opportunity for everybody, and maybe even a way to get on or off the island. So I really appreciate your time and effort. Please take a look and renegotiate, and let's not let this down. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sir, we have one more. Michael T.
Yeah, thank you, Council. It's Michael Tudikoff. I lived there up through the late 90s and still stay real. It's my home. A lot of you people know me. But I'm on the OCCP board. I am not a math expert. I'm not a geothermal expert. There are a lot of experts that are dealing with this, and they are being regulated and regulated and regulated to follow so many things to where this, if we get the funding, I don't see this failing, but having that PPA is going to be key to getting that funding. So I really hope y'all work with us and OCCP, and we can figure something out. Along with what Alyssa said, there's other stuff like the Northern Trade Route. There's electric barges and boats that wouldn't have to go through the Panama Canal and all the way across the world. They can stop here, work their way up through the Arctic, and it's a shorter distance, plus better on economy and environment. So I'm on, like I said, I see so much potential, and I know it's dealing with government and funding, and that's never a for sure thing, but if we stop it'll probably for sure stop, in my opinion. That's my personal opinion on that. But if we get the PPA in place and DOE and ADA and all of them see that, I think they will continue. We keep getting Trident and other people of interest. It's going to go open up so much other opportunities. Growing vegetables, not having to ship that in ourselves. There's lots of opportunity, and I just hope we consider all aspects. And one thing on that geothermal thing, I remember somebody asked me that on the data from 50 years ago, but I think John Zygaus is one of the experts, and there's not a lot of difference from the testing then to now, from my understanding. Dave can correct me if I'm wrong on that. So with everything that we've turned in, they've proved it and found it to be viable, and I think we should believe all sides of that and have faith and hopefully get better heating, lower price. Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you, Michael. Anybody else, sir?
No, sir. That's all.
One last round at the council. Well, having completed our work session, Can I get a request motion and a second to return to a regular session?
I'll make a motion to return to regular session.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Hearing no objection, we're back in a regular session. We are now at the regular agenda. Person wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the clerk. 3-minute time limit per person. First up, the second reading ordinance 2023-11, creating amendment number 2 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, providing $10,000 in additional monies to fully fund the park and recreational study. May I have a motion and a second to adopt ordinance 2023-11?
I'll move to adopt ordinance 2023-11.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Luby. City Manager, to introduce.
Correct. Are we on the budget amendment for the Parks and Rec? Okay.
Yes.
So the matter before you is the amendment to increase the budget for this study from $150,000, as was proposed and approved in our CMMP, to $160,000. Our bids came in just higher than the $150,000, and we wanted to make sure we have the amendment in place, the budget amendment, so that we can go ahead and sign the contract for the services.
Thank you. Council discussion. Any question? Hearing no question. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Once again, the motion is a second reading of Ordinance 2023-11. Creating budget amendment number 2 to fiscal year 2024 budget, providing $10,000 in additional monies to fully fund the parks and recreational study. City Clerk, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Tungo?
Yes.
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Councilmember Luby?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Second one is Ordinance 2023-12. First reading, non-code temporary ordinance of the City of Unalaska, allowing extended hours for the sale of alcohol in Unalaska on December 31st, 2023 and January 1st, 2024. May I have a motion and a second to introduce Ordinance 2023-12 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on December 19th, 2023?
I'll move to introduce Ordinance 2023-12 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on December 19th, 2023.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. City Manager.
Yes, thank you, Council. This again is in response to a directive of the City Manager after discussion on Council about the fact that the holiday falls on a day that we don't typically allow alcohol sales. So we prepared this, and in doing so, we pointed out that there have been numerous occasions in the past that we've also extended those hours and approved the sales in this kind of an event. So staff has prepared the ordinance and the memorandum. I support it and recommend we move on to the public hearing scheduled for the December meeting.
Council discussion, I guess the 31st and the 1st fall on a Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Council discussion. Council Member Luby.
I'd like to request to be excused from the vote as I am the owner of one of the local establishments that this will affect.
There a financial gain on this? Or before I answer that, Councilmember Bell.
Yeah, if I can make a quick comment, and I would agree with Councilman Libby recusing herself from the vote on this. She's the one that brought up the question originally and has a financial benefit, maybe not a major financial benefit. And this is just one of those little quality of life things. It may not be a big deal, but I'll support this ordinance.
Councilmember Luby's excuse. Now discussion with the council. Hearing none, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, sir. Dennis Robinson wishes to speak.
Yes, thank you. Dennis Robinson for the record. This is going to come up again. It'll happen every 7 years. So I support this, but I think what the council should do is next year bring the ordinance back for, to be changed to allow for this so you don't have to do this every 7 years. City Manager Homka said that we've done it numerous times in the past. Well, the perpetual calendar says it'll happen again in 7 years. So I think we should change the ordinance to reflect that. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak?
Nobody on Zoom, sir.
City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide the on Zoom comments on the phone?
No, sir.
I will reinstate the motion, Ordinance 2023-12, first reading, non-code temporary ordinance of the City of Unalaska, allowing extended hours for the sale of alcohol in Unalaska on December 31st, 2023, and January 1st, 2024. Can I please request a roll call vote?
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes. Motion passes 4 yes. 0 no. Next one is Resolution 2023-44. Authorizing the city manager to enter into a contract with Barry Dunn to provide services for a park and recreation master plan. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2023-44?
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 2023-44.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Longo. City manager to introduce.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, and again, City Council members, for taking this matter up. As you know, we've received two bids, and the staff reviewed both of them and has selected Barry Dunn for just $6,000+ over what we had budgeted. You've just approved a budget amendment that will cover the cost of the contract, and this is merely seeking your authorization then to sign the agreement. I would appreciate your approval.
Council discussion. Any question? City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Thank you. Now I reinstate the motion. It's Resolution 2023-44, authorizing the city manager to enter into a contract with Barry Dunn to provide services for a park and recreation master plan. Can I please request a roll call vote?
Councilmember Luby?
Yes.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes. Resolution 2023-44 passes 5-0. Next is a resolution 2023-46. Authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement extension with Optimera Holdings, Inc. for electrical lineman services. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2023-46?
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-46.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Nicholson and seconded by Councilman Luby. City Manager, to introduce.
Yes, thank you. And it's important to know, as we wrote into the resolution and this agenda, this is a contract extension. You know, we approved a contract in October of 2022. And this, in the time, a year quickly passed, we have not sourced a solution to our empty lineman program. You know, we went out and sole sourced this basically to Optimera last year. My intention is, if we continue to need these services, I want to go out for bid, even if we only get one bid back. I'd much rather go that route than continue to do sole sources. The company would have preferred a longer term contract. I explained that to them. We had a good meeting explaining their needs, what our needs are. We need this service. We cannot keep our distribution system and other things that keep our power and service running to our customers, basically our whole community, up and running without this. So I preferred and advocated that we go with the extension of the existing contract. It's more costly this year due to a variety of reasons, but I mean salary costs and other regulations that have also driven up the cost. But also then there's some factors that we as a city constantly deal with. You know, the cost of living out here, getting people out here, housing, et cetera, they're also having trouble with that. So it's nice to know we're not alone, but it's not a solution to our long-term problem. This contract for 1 year period would be $1,514,000 and some change. The last one I think was about $1.1 million. So you can see that increase. However, I think it's important to point out that we don't divide this up by 12, like our community grants program, and send out checks. They bill us for services. Our utility and public works department review it right now because, you know, Scott is the acting director of utilities, but we also have Eric Hernandez, who's the deputy utility director, and they review what the work has been done and forward it on to finance. And finance reviews it in accordance with our contract. A lot of work that goes into this to make sure we're paying what we're supposed to be paying and not more. So I say that because I was recently looking to see how much of the contract we used last time. And I think as of August, going into September, we'd only billed, for fiscal year 23, we'd only billed about 600,000 of that 1.1 million. So I can't speak for Optimera, but I think if I were them, they're putting everything they think they may need in here that may not wind up being billable. And remember, this is coming from our salaries. This is kind of where we're getting this money from. It's already budgeted to keep those alignment positions. While they're vacant, we're using that to pay these bills. So I just wanted to clear that up because I did get a question. Is this just something that we divide up by 12 and send them, whether we're getting the services or not? And that's not the case. So
I think I've pointed out that it is my intention to try and put together a white paper for all of you and for ourselves to understand how our alignment program got into this position, so we know how to keep moving forward and get out. I don't think if we can, without answering those questions, how can we solve the problem? And I see bringing that to you in about the second meeting in February or first one around March, because I'd like to get another RFP out if we're still in this boat in early spring and give other people an opportunity to bid, because the year did go by fast and I don't want to be waiting to the last minute. So with that, I do recommend that we support this contract, and I'm happy to try and answer any questions you may have. I think Captain Mayor is also in the room that will also be able to answer any questions you might have.
Council discussion. Council Member Bell.
I'm going to agree with the direction that city manager is taking this, and it only extending a 1 year contract. This is going to be a hard position to, or a hard thing to fill or replace that line crew. And with 1 more year of Optimera, I think that gives us a good idea of what they are capable of providing for us, what our needs are. An RFP would be no way to go, to stay away from that whole soul sourcing. But, you know, just my thoughts, we may end up finding out after a couple of years of having Optimera and hiring that subcontracting, and that may be the most economical way to go. So it's hard to say at this point, but I agree with the direction you're going.
Council Member Luby.
Yeah, I also agree with the direction we're going, and I know costs have, you know, gone up tremendously. So I understand the predicament they're in, and trying to also, you know, have people to hire. It's difficult. But my only question is how does this affect the FY24 budget? Would the 1.5 still be covered under the current budget, or are we looking at a budget amendment for that if needed?
It could be a budget amendment. And honestly, I was looking at that briefly a few weeks ago. I mean, I think the rates would go up anyway based on some salary increases. I'm not sure if that would cover it, but remember, there's 5 positions times that, times all those hours. So it could very well be a budget amendment that, well, not amendment, but it is amendment with a new contract. And we already will have this year covered. See, the fiscal year is kind of mess you up. And then we'll be going from basically October to next October. So then we'll be also paying out of FY25 at that point.
Okay. Yeah, that was, you know, the only concern. And without looking at financial reports as well, it's hard to kind of look at where we're at as well for this year. But next year we can address during our budget process. But anyway, I'm in support of it. I think it does need to go out to an RFP as well. But I understand exactly the situation they're in. So I'm good. Thanks.
Thank you.
Council Member Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. I'm in agreement with the direction we are heading in this. And I'm just thankful that we do have Optimera here to fill in the voids that we're having. Thank you.
Thank you. I will be in full support of this. Just an FYI to people listening, we're not actually paying that amount that's listed in there. Yeah, we pay the amount that the contractor works, and they bill us for whatever they do through the year. So that don't mean we have to pay the whole thing in there. So I just want to throw that in there. We are being billed on what they do, not what they work at the city, the time they put in there. Thank you. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Anybody else? City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Once again, I reinstate the motion, Resolution 2023-46. authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement extension with Optimera Holdings, Inc. for electrical lineman services. And I please request a roll call vote.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes.
Councilmember Luby?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Resolution 2023-46 passes 5-0. Next is a resolution 2023-47, adopting priority rankings for the FY25 through FY34 capital and major maintenance plan process guide. May I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2023-47?
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2023-47.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Bell. The city manager to introduce.
Yes, thank you. And this is one of the subjects that I actually enjoy because it's when we get instant feedback, if you will, from council. And it really just affirms, I think, from year to year what the priorities should be. And again, this year you have everyone's results are in, and there are three priority ones, three priority twos, and two priority threes. I don't think they've changed any. One, we would prioritize projects in the CMMP put forth to address regulatory compliance an impact on the operational budget. That's one of the things we would evaluate for. What is it, great or not great? And is there external funding, for example? Are there grant resources attached? Your second priorities would be, is it part of a comprehensive plan or the plan itself for a number of years? Is it infrastructure related or public safety, any maintenance or public safety needs? And the last is quality of life and health and wellness. And the two that come down into third are whether it's innovation and the timing and location of the projects. And as we continue to dial in on our budgeting and how we're looking for to address capital projects, this, believe it or not, will come in handy should it come to the point where we have a set amount of money or budget goals from you that we will apply these. We haven't had to yet, but this is your third or fourth year we've done them. And it's nice to just make sure we go through and get these, your direct feedback. So it helps us as we're reviewing these rather than waiting until we come in. And I'm happy to answer any questions. This was produced by Cameron Dean, planning director.
Council discussion. Council member Luby.
Yeah, I'm just curious how you determined the tiebreaker between plans and comprehensive plan and external funding.
It's really a mode of those. I mean, one project may have one of those and one of the others. So, and Cameron, you'd like to try your luck at an answer there. Like I said, we haven't had to really deploy these, but I suspect the time is coming and we'll continue to refine this. If when we use it and we see there's a problem, we're not going to know until we use it, right? To see how that goes. Cameron.
Sure. So, I mean, ultimately, this is a tool that's trying to get at what council's priorities are. So we can break that down a little, couple different ways. We go first. Historically, we just use the mean of your scores that you give everything. In this case, and this happens pretty frequently from the numbers we're working with, that can be the same for two different things. So at that point, we fall back to the mode. So which one was most popular? There's obviously other ways we can split that around. That's just the way we've done it in the past.
Okay, no, I was just curious how I just noticed it was the same, you know, so I just wondered, how did you guys decide that? So I'm good with it. Thanks.
Thank you, Cameron. Other question?
Oh, I was just going to make a comment. Okay, it's great that the city manager and the planning department gets giddy doing the CMMP. So, yeah, this is a good tool, and I agree with the ranking and the way that turned out, so. I'll agree with this resolution.
Thank you. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Once again, I reinstate the motion. Resolution 2023-47, adopting priorities ranking for the FY25 through FY34 capital and major maintenance plan process guide. Can I please request a roll call vote?
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes.
Councilmember Luby?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Resolution 2023-47 passes 5-0. Next is council directives to city manager. There are directives need to be in motion, second, and a roll call vote. Hearing none. Next is the community input and announcement. This is the final opportunity to provide information to council or make announcement. 3-minute time limit applies. Any other announcement? City Clerk, were written comments submitted or does anyone on Zoom or on the phone wish to speak?
No, sir.
Next, executive session. Finding of facts and conclusion of law on the field of the October 19, 2023 discuss a decision of the Unalaska Planning Commission granting a conditional use permit for a communication tower of a lease portion of Tract A Block 6, Lulac Subdivision, Plat 89-19. Get our motion in a second to go into an executive session.
I move to go into executive session to discuss proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law with the city attorney related on the October 19th, 2023 decision of Planning Commission granted a conditional use permit for communications tower on leased portion tract A, block 6, Iloquois, whatever, subdivision, plot 89-19. Present in executive session will be the mayor and council, city manager William Humpla, planning director Cameron Dean, and city attorney Charles Cacola.
You have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Longo. We're in an executive session.
Council, while we wait for that, I heard you read in that to have Cameron stay. I think last time we didn't have him stay because of that, and we should have had the assistant city manager stay in, as she's been helpful to me in putting this together. So I'm swapping them out if that's approved.
7:10. We'll take a 5-minute break before we start.
Okay, thanks.
May I have a motion and a second to return to our regular session?
I make a motion to go into the regular session.
I'll second.
Motion made by Councilman Longo and seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Any objection? Hearing no objection, we're back in a regular session at 7:43. We're back on the regular session, right? Yes. Now that we are addressing the action added to the agenda, can I have a motion and a second?
I move to reconsider the November 14th, 2023 motion to affirm the Planning and Zoning Commission's October 19, 2023 decision.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Longo and seconded by Councilman Nicholson. the earlier motion was adopted based on the erroneous belief that the distance from the proposed tower location to all property boundaries must more than 1.1 times the tower height. Okay, a discussion? Go ahead.
Yeah, from what, actually, maybe we get a little bit of brief from the city manager on the location. This has to do with the location.
City manager, introduce, please.
Yes, and many of our listeners, I'm sorry for the confusion. What has happened is, in preparing our findings of law and conclusion, we looked and realized that while we spent a lot of time discussing the location and the proximity to other structures and property lines, we didn't notice that the 1.1 was encroaching into the city's right of way. And so the planner and me is wanting to bring this back and do it right and make sure we apply our standard uniformly, even to our own property lines. So this is basically a matter of housekeeping. And what I submit to you is to support making sure that the tower is in the same proximity location that was approved, but it respects the 1.1 foot distance from all property lines, 1.1 foot for every foot of height from all property lines, not just basically we focused on the appellant's property and homes. And the city is not exempt from its own regulations. And I'd like to make sure that we tidy this up and do it right. And so that's what you have in front of you, and combine effort with our attorney. And that's why the findings of fact represent, you know, this change, that we should respect that 1.1 all the way around on all property lines. And I apologize for the error.
Discussion.
And because of that explanation, I would say that that I would support the motion to reconsider. And this really ends up being, in my mind, at least a housekeeping item, or a crucial part of this, but more of a housekeeping item. It doesn't necessarily change my decision as far as the Planning Commission and their initial decision. So, thank you.
Anyone else? Can I get a roll call vote on the motion for reconsideration?
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes.
Councilmember Luby?
Yes.
5-0, with the motion to reconsider as passed. As a result, the motion to affirm the Planning Commission October 19, 2023 decision is now before the Council for debate. Can I have a motion and a second to amend? Number three.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to amend. I move to amend the motion to affirm the Planning Commission and Zoning Commission October 19, 2023 decision as follows. I move to affirm the Planning Commission decision with the conditions that the tower be located a minimum of 1.1 times the height of the tower from all property boundaries.
Second.
Motion made by Councilman Bell and seconded by Councilman Longo. City manager, you got anything to introduce? Or?
No, I just am pleased that there was the issue was caught. And as you know, there were quite a few exhibits attached to the application. And it's nice that there was consideration given and a location was shown in the general vicinity that would accommodate the tower and be far enough from all the property lines without impacting any other property owners around there any more so than the decision already did in that case. So it's basically about 25 feet or less in a different direction, but it's in that same location.
Anybody wish to speak? Discussing? Hearing none, can I have a vote on a motion to amend?
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
State motion to amend is passed here 5-0. Before the council is a motion to affirm the Planning Commission October 19th decision with a condition that the tower location be a 1.1 times the height of the tower from all property boundaries. Can I have a motion in a second?
I'll make a motion. I move to adopt the written findings of facts and conclusion of law as amended.
Second.
Motion was to amend. It was made by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Luby. Debate? Anybody want to speak? Hearing none, can we vote the amended motion affirming PC decisions?
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilman Tungle?
Yes.
Councilman Luby?
Yes.
Councilman Bell?
Yes.
Councilman Nicholson?
Yes.
Mayor, identify the proposed written finding of fact and conclusion affirming Planning Commission with the modification. Can I have a motion in a second to move and adopt the written findings of facts and conclusion of law? Yes, what we just did? No, that's it. You still need to adapt that. That's. Yeah. On the number four.
Mm-hmm. I move to adopt the written findings of fact and conclusion of law.
Second.
Discussion? Need a roll call vote on a motion to adopt findings and conclusion?
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Longo?
Yes.
Councilmember Tungle?
Yes.
Councilmember Luby?
Yes.
Councilmember Bell?
Yes.
So the move to adopt the written findings of fact and conclusion of law passes 5-0. Having completed all items on the agenda, we are now adjourned at 7:54 p.m. Oh, gosh.